Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of ESPN Las Vegas will join us. We'll go over a little bit of everything. We'll do some NFL, get his big picture thoughts, bets he's made, bets he's looking at, thoughts on baseball, futures, the pennant races coming down the stretch the last couple months. Spent a lot of time on that the other day. College football, maybe some NBA. Did get an NBA Christmas schedule announced, and I made this point too. I'm not going to do much NBA here off the top, but Christmas opening day, pretty good. Spurs and Knicks at noon Eastern. Heat Celtics at 2:30 Eastern. Sixers and Lakers. LeBron back in LA at 5 Eastern. And then Nuggets and Warriors at 10:30. I guess we got Thunder Wolves in between. So football is taking over Christmas, and you really, at least for me, it's, you know, you're checking on the NBA games if you have bets, or between games, or, you know, noon Eastern is when this starts and the football game's not till 1. So, you know, in between commercials, half times, things like that, the football for me takes priority. And it's hard to flip because the football now on Netflix is on Christmas. But look at this day on Christmas. Spurs and Knicks, like I said, at 12 Eastern. Packers and Bears at 1. Then you get the Heat and Celtics at 2:30. Bills and Broncos at 4:30. So you get some tremendous games in the NFL. Then Sixers, Lakers, then Thunder Wolves. Then at 8:15 Eastern, Rams and Seahawks. And then Nuggets, Warriors at night. You'd probably be exhausted by the time you get to, you know, midnight here on the East Coast at Christmas. But that's a hell of a sports day. I didn't realize the NFL games were that good. Packers, Bears, Bills and Broncos, and Rams Seahawks. I mean, you can't really come up with three better games. That's about as good a game as you're going to get for a trio there. All teams you would think would be in the mix. I know last year they got some rough breaks with a lot of the quarterbacks being hurt. Chiefs and Mahomes, hurt later in the year. Was it Oladokun or whatever started on Christmas in that ugly game against Denver where the Chiefs actually covered, but it was an ugly, low-scoring game. But That's a hell of a Christmas. Like I said, Christmas, or the NBA should have a little more juice. The bad team shouldn't be as bad. Giannis to the Heat, all the new look Sixers. So maybe you finally, for the first time in a while, get an NBA regular season with some juice, as the Kawhi thing still hasn't been solved, which is just absolute mess how the NBA hasn't figured that out. But we got some NFL on Thursday. Now, the Hall of Fame, they always do this. They have the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Then you don't have anything that weekend. You take a little bit of a breather, but then the week after, and everything's just pushed back a little bit. Usually it's the first couple days of August you had this. This wasn't until August 7th. Last year it was like late July, but Thursday you have everything. You start Packers and Steelers, Packers laying 2, Lions and Bengals. Bengals up to a 7.5-point favorite. They're going to play some of their guys. Remember, they were infamous for not playing their guys. Last year they experimented, played a little bit of Chase and Burrow and some of the stars. And that's the thing too with quarterbacks. When you see, hey, the coach says, oh, I'm going to play my quarterback just for betting purposes of the preseason. From a betting standpoint, if you're going to play quarterback, if you're going to play your quarterback, you're going to play your other guys. You're going to play your offensive line. You're going to play your receivers. You're not going to send your quarterback out there behind a third string offensive line. But Bengals going to experiment there, play their guys a little bit. They've gotten off the terrible starts the last few seasons. I mean, it's really been an epidemic under Taylor. Even in good years, they've gotten off to bad starts. So that'll be one on Thursday night. Colts and Patriots. Colts take some money. Patriots announced they're not playing May. Then you got Chargers and Texans. Chargers getting a point with that one. Cardinals and Raiders is a pick 'em, and Titans and 49ers. Titans have gotten bet here up to -5. That was just -3 a couple minutes ago before I started recording. So this is all information-based. Now, on one hand, you can see, you know what, the information's so strong. If they're going to play these guys, the line doesn't matter. That's a dicey way to approach it. And it's hard to play anything that's 2 or 3 points worse. I would say this, and I wouldn't recommend playing anything that's 2 or 3 points worse. But if there's ever a time to do it, if the information's so strong that it's not a bad time to do it. But if you're lucky enough to have jumped in on the better lines, You can set up some middles and play it that way. But 6 games on Thursday, then a whole bunch more on Friday. Well, 3 more on Friday. Dolphins, Commanders, Jets, Bucks, and Jets have taken some money up to -6. And then Broncos and Falcons. Broncos on the road is a 5.5-point favorite, so probably going to play some of their guys there, which would be an indication of that. And then you have a whole bunch of games on Saturday. So it's just nice to have it back on the TV. You see the guys, you know, just in their uniforms. You see some of the rookies. Nobody plays. I mean, it just gets worse and worse every year in terms of seeing somebody that actually plays. But you know, it's fun to have it back. It's fun to have it on TV. If you're betting it, it's just fun to sweat football. By week two or week three, especially week three, it's like, all right, enough of this. Let's get to the regular season. Enough of the non-alcoholic beer. Let's get the real thing. I get that. But the first week or so, it's just fun to have it back. And again, if you do your homework, if you're paying attention to who's going to play, if you're on Twitter, these coaches are going to be honest with you. They're going to tell you, hey, I'm playing my guys. I'm not playing my guys. I would say this, Matthew Berry, which has no affiliation with you know, me or Veasan or anything, but his Fantasy Life app is very good about giving you updates, alerts in terms of who's playing, who's in, who's out. And you got to be quick, though, because these things, Patriots announce May's not playing. Well, that means the rest of the starters, the offensive line's not playing. And that line's going to go to, you know, that line's going to move a few points instantly. And these lines will move 3 or 4 points within, you know, a half hour span. So fun to have it back. Looking forward to it. We'll talk to Jeff Parles in a second here. NFL big picture thoughts. Working on Mike Sando for the end of the week. He's got his annual QB tier column. I guess the thing that was newsy about the quarterbacks the last couple of days, Murray named the starter in Minnesota. Not a shock to anyone. You knew as long as he's upright, he's going to be the starter. He's much better than McCarthy. And as I've mentioned, I'm high on Minnesota. I'm really high on Minnesota. I think it's a little similar to last 2 years ago, I should say, when you get a reclamation project, you get a guy who's got a lot of talent around him, and I think it could work. The one bet, and I don't think I've talked about it in this podcast, there's a little juice with Arizona under 4.5, under 3.5 is plus money, and you can, you know, pick your juice. Do I want the extra win? Do I want to pay the juice? Look at this Arizona Cardinals schedule. This is about as tough a schedule as I can ever remember. I know the Giants went through this last year, and they actually were competitive and could have won a bunch more games, but they didn't, and they still stayed under. I feel that this is maybe even a harder schedule with Arizona. Look at this to start the year. At the Chargers, Seahawks, at the 49ers, at the Giants October 4th. You better win that one because, and that might be, I'm not sure if it's going Pacific time. Let's list it as a 10 a.m. start. Maybe that's just, for whatever reason, going Pacific time. But then you get the Lions, so Chargers, Seahawks, Cardinals, Giants, Lions, Rams, Broncos, Cowboys, Seahawks, Rams, Chiefs, Commanders, Eagles. Then you get one against the Jets, the Saints. Not as bad at the end of the year. You do play the Raiders, and then you play the 49ers in Week 18, which who knows? Maybe that's the 49ers backup Week 18. Can always be a little fluky, and you know, who? Maybe Arizona get the 3 wins, and that's the deciding win if you're playing the under 3.5, and you don't want to be in that situation. So I would just pay the extra juice. I mean, nothing's impossible. I think it'd be very, very hard for Arizona. I know it's a low number. It's going to be very hard to go under 4.5. Under 3.5, man, it's the NFL. So many games are close. You get upsets. I worry they get to 4. But you know what? If you get to 5 and you beat me, you beat me. I think it's going to be really, really tough for Arizona to go over that 4.5. So excited to talk some football. Excited to have it back on the TVs. Thursday, you get a bunch of games. Friday, you get some more. And then weekend. And then, again, it's back for the first week. It's fun. By the second, third week, all right, enough. Let's get on with the real thing. But not too far away. College starts in, again, everything's pushed back a little bit. So the 29th is the first college day. So you still got a couple weeks for that. But 2 weeks from Saturday, so 2.5 weeks from now, it's coming. It's coming. So what else is, who else is coming up? It's Jeff Parles, ESPN Las Vegas. We'll get his thoughts. NFL, college football, baseball, trade deadline reactions. Excited to talk to Jeff. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, ESPN Las Vegas is where you can catch him, and he joins us once again. It is Jeff Parles. Jeff, preseason almost here, full slate on Thursday. How's your summer going? Thanks for coming on.
It's good to be with you, Will. It's good to be with you. It's kind of daunting and fun and ridiculous all at the same time that we're in the middle of August. It just crept up on us very quickly this year, and here we are all of a sudden. We are about a month away from the first Sunday of the NFL season.
Yeah, and I've made this point probably more times than people want to hear, but you went from Knicks Spurs and the Stanley Cup final and the NBA final. World Cup was a great bridge where that ate up a lot of time and a lot of content when people just, you know, it's baseball and not much else in the summer. You throw in a little NBA free agency, LeBron, Jaylen Brown, all that stuff. And next thing you know, we got the Hall of Fame game, and here we are with a full card of football. What's your boldest, most confident take on the NFL? Somebody you think is overvalued, undervalued? I'll give you the floor.
Ooh, I like this spot. I think the Packers are overvalued. I think Green Bay is missing the playoffs. I think that division, which you know very well, Will, everyone over 500 a year ago, Everyone is good. Now that we know that Minnesota is not even going to screw around, like Kyler named a starter on August 11th. Good. Just going in with, let's see how many games he can play. But I don't think this Packer team did enough this offseason. I don't think they're that good. I'm concerned about Parsons coming off a significant injury like he did. I'm not fully buying Jordan Love. They are the team in the NFC North that I'm looking to fade this year. I know everyone is going to fade Chicago. Last year, I was the only one who liked the Bears going into the year, it seemed like. I don't think Chicago will be as good as they were a year ago record-wise, because it's just hard to have the same sort of luck they had in close games. But I think the market is undervaluing what Caleb Williams is so much. I think he's awesome. I think he, by the end of this year, will be a legitimate top seven quarterback in this league without much debate. And that will allow Chicago to overcome some of that regression. The Lions are, like, to me, the most obvious, and the market says this, the Lions are the most obvious positive regression team in the NFL, right? Like, they went 9-8 and everything went wrong last year, right? So they were still over 500, much better at offensive coordinator, the guy they got from the Cardinals. I really like Peltzer. I think he's good. He's a huge upgrade over Morton. He's not Ben Johnson, but he's much better than what they had a year ago. A last place schedule. I think the Lions are the bye team, but the problem is the market thinks the Lions are the bye team in that division too. So to me, Green Bay is the fade of the NFC. The other NFC team I like fading. I think the Giants are vastly overvalued by everybody. I don't think they're that good. I think Harbaugh is an upgrade, but it's not as big of an upgrade as people make it out to be. I'm concerned about Dart's ability to get through a whole season, and I don't think that defense is that good. The one thing they have going for them is a last-place schedule and a situation with one team in the division of Washington where I have no faith that that's going to turn around even with the Tunsil, especially with the Tunsil injury. So the sells in the NFC, the Giants, the Packers, the buy in the NFC, Willie, I mentioned Detroit. I love the Cowboys. And that scares the hell out of me. It scares me so much because they have probably a bottom half head coach in Shoddy. I don't think he's terrible, but he's clearly not high end. You have a defense that it should be vastly improved, but still has questions. But I think that offense is so much talent. And I think Dak is a reasonable MVP bet this year, Will. Now, I think the number's a little too short, but I think he's going to absolutely be in the running if Dallas is going to be a 12-win team like I think they're going to be. So I'm buying Dallas, buying Detroit, selling the Giants, and selling Green Bay in the NFC. And then I'm curious what you're doing in the AFC, because I'm just so confused in that conference because the market loves the Ravens again, because I think the market refuses to adapt on Baltimore. Now you have a first-time head coach, a offensive coordinator that's younger than me. Like, we have no idea what we're getting out of that coaching staff, right? And can Lamar play more than 15 games in the season? So, but the AFC is so confusing, and it just starts from the fact that the team that's the favorite is a team that I think the market has just had overrated now for the better portion of 8 years.
Back to the NFC for a second. Where are you on Minnesota? Because, I'm usually not high on them. It does feel a little bit like 2 years ago where you really don't need that much out of Murray, just like you didn't need much out of Darnold. The pieces are around him. I think Minnesota, because I don't trust Detroit's defense, and I'm not sure how good their offensive line is. I think that division will beat up on each other a little bit. Vikings avoid Seattle. They avoid the Rams. And, man, I can't remember a year where the defending champion. I guess I can. I've made this point to Denver in 2016, but they lost their quarterback and Peyton Manning retired. I can't remember, other than that, a defending champion getting this little buzz. But I like Minnesota. Where are you at? Those two teams, Minnesota and the Seahawks.
Let's start with Seattle. To me, the Rams and the Seahawks are, even though I love Dallas going into this year, and I like the Lions, it's still Seattle and it's still the Seahawks and the Rams. I think the Rams are the proper favorites just because that Garrett, even though I love Jared Verse, Garrett's the best defensive player in the NFL. And you add him to that team that already has a loaded offense. Matthew Stafford still has it. You have, to me, a top three coach in McVay, and you're not even playing a first place schedule. if you're the Rams. So they're the rightful favorites. But the Seahawks are pretty clearly number two. We'll see what happens with the running, with the backfield situation now with Walker in Kansas City. But he's still the best wide receiver in the NFL, right? And the only thing that can really hurt them is how much does that offense go backwards because of a new play caller, right? Like, Clint Kubiak was masterful last year in how he called the offense and how he managed Sam Darnold's flaws. Like, keep in mind, Darnold still led the NFL in interceptions last year, right? Like, he still led the NFL in interceptions, and they still won the Super Bowl because of how well that offense was put together. And obviously, that defense is an absolute monster, and there's no reason to think it won't be an absolute monster again. So to me, yeah, I have questions on what their play calling situation is going to be because you're losing. In my eyes, last year, Kubiak was a top three OC in the NFL, but that roster's still really darn good. They're the second favorite, and I think correctly so. To me, they're the second best team in the NFC. Will, if you told me Minnesota went 5-12 and Kevin O'Connell is coaching elsewhere next year, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me the Vikings go 13-4 and win the NFC North and get the 2 seed or maybe even a 1 seed because Kyler Murray was able to stay healthy, I wouldn't be surprised. They have a very, very wide range because the roster's there. You said it, the roster's there. They went 9-8 with horrific quarterback play last year. Horrific. If they had decent quarterback play, they would have won the North. Even with how Chicago's season panned out, they would have still won the North. So to me, they are hard to bet. That's kind of one of those where you just got to take your variant shots, right? Maybe you take a big swing on an alternate win total, like over 11.5, and just go for a big swing. Or you pick them to finish last in the NFC North. I think that's just one of those. If you're looking to bet Minnesota, you go high variance. You just go, I think they're going to be awesome, and they're going to win the division, and they're going to be an 11, 12, 13-win team, or they're going to stink, and I'm just going to fade them like crazy. I would just go high variance plus money bets on Minnesota if I'm doing that.
Yeah, I did bet a little 22-1 to be the 1 seed. I don't think that's bad.
I don't mind that. I wish you're probably getting a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, look, 2 years ago, if Darnold doesn't implode, they're the 1 seed. So, like, and at least from my perspective, even though I'm not a huge Kyler fan, I think you got to look at it that Kyler going into this year is probably in a better spot than Darnold was when he got to Minnesota, just because Darnold hadn't played the year before. I mean, Kyler Murray wasn't bad when he was on the field last year. Just, again, the thing with Murray is he's not capable of playing a full season, and having J.J. McCarthy as your backup is scary.
AFC, what a big picture thoughts. Since he's a trendy team, I can't quite get there. Burrow never seems to play. I mean, speaking of the guy who never plays a full season, the defense, you tell me it's fixed. I got to see it to believe it. I got to see Burrow play a full season. I don't love the coach. The Patriots, should take a step back. Even though the roster might be better, that schedule is just going to be so much different than it was last year. Super Bowl hangover, I think, is real, but the Bills also have a tough schedule. I don't love their roster. The West is good. You could talk me any one of those three teams winning. I think the Chargers now, they have no home field, and the quarterback has a lot to answer in January, but I think the Chargers getting their offensive lineman back could be very good. I think McDaniel could be a nice upgraded offensive coordinator, but you tell me, who do you like, who do you not like?
I'll start with the don't like. I think the Steelers, and I know I said this last year, but Tomlin's not there anymore, and his voodoo's not there anymore. And I think McCarthy is pretty darn even as a coach than Tomlin by the end. I think they're pretty even. But you're playing a first-place schedule. Rodgers looks like if he takes one big hit, he's going to crack in half at this point. He's so skinny. And I think their roster stinks. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Shame on me if the Steelers overachieve. I think they're going to be terrible. I think if it wasn't for Cleveland's quarterback situation being a complete disgrace, that I would say you could take a shot on the Steelers finishing last in the AFC North. But Cleveland's quarterbacking situation is so awful that their defense could be good. They won't be as good as they were last year because obviously Garrett's not there and Schwartz isn't there anymore. But Cleveland could be have like a top 10 defense and go 4-13 pretty easily because of that quick QB situation. So Pittsburgh's a huge fade. I don't know what to do with the other two teams in that division, Will. Like, I just said it in the diatribe on Baltimore. Like, we have no idea what that coaching staff is. We have no clue. We have no clue. I think Jesse Minter has all the pieces to be a good head coach, but we don't know. We have no clue with first-time head coaches. I mean, Declan Doyle is so young that who knows? Jackson can't play a full season. I don't know. I feel like, again, they're vastly overrated going into the year. And then the Bengals, Zach Taylor being the longest tenured coach in the AFC other than Andy Reid is hilarious at this point. But Burrow, here's the caveat with the Bengals. If Joe Burrow plays a whole season, the Bengals will win that division. But how the hell can you trust that Burrow is going to play a whole season at this point, Will? You can't trust it. So that is it. Fade the Steelers, but I don't know what to do at the top. The AFC East, the Dolphins are, to me, by far the worst team in the conference. But, like, by margin. I think the Jet roster is actually pretty talented, especially on offense. The problem is their coaching staff is so awful. Awful. The worst coaching staff in the NFL. And for a last-place schedule team, they have a really difficult draw. So, like, there's some people that are, like, some people in at least Jetland that are trying to say, hey, they're capable of winning 7-8 games. Roster-wise, sure, but they're not. They're more likely to go 4-13 again, which then leaves us the top two teams. The Patriots are the most obvious fade of all time because of the schedule, which kind of scares me that it's so obvious of a fade. And you're dealing with a guy in May who, yeah, showed some problems in the playoffs, but I think Drake May is still a really good quarterback. I think the Vrabel-Russini nonsense is over with at this point. That was an offseason story. And then you have the Bills, who didn't do enough again this offseason. They didn't do enough. So I think Buffalo will win that division, but who knows? The AFC South, Houston is by far the best team in that division, but will C.J. Stroud regress back to what we saw early in his career again? Which then leaves us the West. And Will, I know they had an awful year last year. I know Mahomes is coming off a significant injury. But if you made me pick today who's winning the AFC, I'm picking Kansas City. I'm going back to the well. They have a third-place schedule. They had the luck when what was the narrative last year? Oh, they can't be as good as they were in one-score games this year. They can't be as bad as they were in one-score games. Like, the worm's going to normalize, which probably puts Kansas City as a 10 or 11-win team, which is more than enough to make the playoffs. And if they're in the bracket, are you betting against Mahomes in a playoff scenario? At least in the AFC? I'm not. So Kansas City's my pick to win the AFC, but that's mostly because I don't trust anybody else. I don't trust Denver. I don't trust the Chargers, even though on paper, I'm with you. That Charger team on paper with the healthy offensive lineman looks real good. And they have a really good OC after having a bottom tier one in Rome in these last few years. But it's the Chargers. It's the Chargers. How can we trust them? So I have Kansas City coming out of the AFC, Will.
Who do you have coming out of the NFC?
I'm going with the Rams. I just think when it's all said and done, they are the most talented team. They have top three coach. Just a matter of keeping Matthew Stafford upright. Matthew Stafford stays healthy. They win the NFC West. They get the one seed. They play the whole playoffs, including the Super Bowl at SoFi.
All right, let's switch gears here to baseball. Speaking of LA, your reaction when the Dodgers got Skubal, the fallout, is this inevitable? They're playing deep into October. I know they haven't played well. Skubal wasn't great on Monday night. What was your take here on the whole Skubal trade? I haven't talked to you since.
I was more upset with the package Detroit took, because every single thing I've read up on the package is that it was not that good. Now, we don't know, because who knows, Will? Like, prospect ratings are wrong all the time, right? So, who knows? Maybe the Tigers really did like the package from the Dodgers better than what Milwaukee was offering. Because I thought the Brewers were the perfect spot for Skubal. Like, I know it was almost 20 years ago, but that smelled like CC Sabathia to Milwaukee in 08. It just did. And you pair Skubal with Mizorowski, good luck in a best of five, right? Like, good luck. Like, sure, best of seven, more crazy things can happen, but good luck beating us in a best of five but having to face Mizorowski and Skubal three times out of five. So that's what would have been the better destination. But look, in the end here, well, I think the four best teams in baseball are all in the National League. The four best teams, in any order, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Brewers, and the Cubs. Any order you want with those four, they're the four best teams in baseball. I would be very surprised if one of those four does not win the World Series. But then again, who thought at this time last year that Toronto was as good as they were? And again, they were a guy who has no power away from winning the World Series, homering from winning the World Series. So, and then all the ridiculous things that happened in the bottom of the ninth. So, yeah, look, is it inevitable that the Dodgers are playing deep in October? No, because they're going to have to play a really darn good team in the division series. They're going to have to play probably Atlanta. I'm assuming, look, who knows what the seeding will end up be, but if the Dodgers are the three, they'll beat whoever, either Philadelphia, Arizona, or San Diego, whoever gets the six. And then they have to go play a series without home field against the Braves. That's not an easy thing for them to do. Especially, again, I have questions on Atlanta's pitching mind sale, but that is a hard series. And it's a team, and again, it's a whole total different ball of wax. But the Braves have historically played the Dodgers well in the playoffs. So I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. I think it is one of those four teams, though, that ends up lifting the trophy. And, well, I would not be surprised if it's the Cubs. They had an amazing deadline. They're really good. The only concern that I have is that if the Phillies get their act together, that is a very difficult 4-5 matchup that the Cubs would potentially have to draw in a short series. I don't love that draw. I think they would find a way. But you have to face Wheeler and Sanchez in a best of three. That's pretty difficult if you're the Cubs. That would be the one thing that I think could hurt them.
Are there any bets to make in your mind? Cubs catching the Brewers? I'm with you. That was my big takeaways. I love what the Cubs did. Cubs catching the Brewers in the division. Detroit making a run in the AL Central or the final wild card. Anything you think is worth a bet?
Do we just take a swing at Seattle and say at some point they're going to get their act together?
Oh,
I mean, guess. What a disaster. Like, even worse than the Toronto one, where, like, you can see with the Blue Jay issue, Will, where you get your heart ripped out in that fashion. You can see how the following season doesn't go to expectation, right? Like, that could linger a whole year. And I know the Mariners had their hearts ripped out by the Blue Jays in the ALCS, but that division sucks. The AL West is awful. Unlike the AL East, where I would say the three best teams in the American League are in the AL East. Like Tampa, the Yankees, and the Rays are all, or Boston, I should say, are all in the division with Toronto. Like, and Baltimore is not a pushover. But I don't know, Will, like, I can't do it at this point. Then your eyeballs go to the Central, right? Like, can the White Sox do this? Can they get, like, we're getting to the point now where we're 117 games in. Like, we're running out of real estate for the White Sox to fall apart now, right? So, do you take a shot on Cleveland, who's been awful the last few weeks? Do you take a shot on the Tigers, who got rid of their two best starting pitchers? Or two of the three best starting pitchers? Do you take Minnesota, who actually kind of bought a little bit at the trade deadline? Like, I don't know. Like, the American League is so bad that I'm really aggravated to myself that I just didn't take a shot on Boston when they started that run. Like when they got it to five in a row. Like, probably should have taken a small piece of them to win the American League. Because right now, I think they're the most complete team. Again, that changes with the Yankees, if they get healthy, because the Yankees starting pitching, that's an elite 1-2-3 with Schlitter, Cole, and Fried when they're all right. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess the correct answer to your original question is you take whichever AL Central team you like behind the White Sox and take a shot on them. I think that's probably the right answer at this point.
Any sense, any guess when Judge will be back?
No idea. Your guess is as good as mine, my friend.
baseball next year, I'll make you the odds maker. Over under for how many games played. What are you setting your number at?
120 and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
120 and a half.
I'll sign for 120 and a half right now.
It would make sense to me if they lose the first 6 weeks of the season. That would make sense. But if somehow we get under, Will, that's kind of like, it better be like 132 or 114. Because if it goes lower than 114, boy. Once you get under 100, I have a very hard time seeing anything being played. Once you get under like 100 games.
What do you think? What's a fair outcome here? What do you expect to happen? What should happen in terms of the give and take here? Salary cap, no salary cap, anything?
I've always been anti-salary cap. I am very much pro-salary floor. But I do understand at this point that the owners are just not going to sign any deal without any sort of cap. Now, I think the floor should be $120 million, and that is very high based off of what some of these teams are willing to spend. I would go $124 and $425 million cap. Like, I would go high cap and allow bird right, like an equivalent to bird rights, like they do in the NBA, so you can keep your own talent around. You have to find a way to keep these contracts that, like the Soto contract, the Otani, like you have to be able to not make sure that these pre-signed contracts end up screwing you over. It's very complicated. I also, the one thing I would love to see, and I don't think it will happen, just get rid of the deferred money at this point. Because I think that's really a bigger reason on why we're in this trouble than a lot of people are willing to see. Like, Otani's contract was a huge deal in all this, Will. Like, deferring $670 million is a gigantic deal. And that really was the moment where I kind of thought, all right, if the Dodgers win two out of three, because of this, because they're able to go get more players because Otani didn't take any of the money basically up front, that's probably going to be a big reason on why this CBA negotiations end up being horrible. So, yeah, I don't know what will end up happening. I would be stunned if we play a whole 162, but I just think in the end, if you're everyone involved here, you can't recover from a whole missed season. I mean, the NHL lockout was 20 plus years ago, and there's an argument to be said that league still hasn't fully recovered. So tread carefully, both sides of the aisle on that. They got to tread carefully.
Last couple. I skipped over college football. A bet to be made? Are you buying Oregon? Do you have any sort of take in terms of who's overrated, underrated college football?
The best team in the country roster-wise, and I don't even think it's a debate, is the Texas Longhorns. I don't think it's close, actually. I think they're by far the best roster in college football. Does that mean they will be the best team in college football and win the national championship? Not necessarily, because their schedule is really difficult. And we're going to learn pretty quickly with them. Because if they beat Ohio State in week two, and remember, that game last year, if Arch Manning was even okay last year, they win in Horseshoe last year. And then the whole season plays out differently. And the narrative around Arch Manning, and Will, you can kind of tell on who was paying attention to Texas down the stretch and who wasn't, on what their opinion of Arch Manning is going into this season. By the end of last year, the only college quarterback who was clearly better than Arch Manning was Fernando Mendoza. He was the only guy who was clearly better than him by the end of last year. And now you have a roster that's loaded. You have the best wide receiver in the country in Coleman on that team. Or excuse me, second best wide receiver in the country in Coleman there, because obviously Jeremiah Smith's still the best. But they have a really difficult schedule. So that is the thing that complicates it. And if they lose to Ohio State in week two, you're going to get a much better number in every future market. So that would be when I probably would want to hop in on Texas. Don't buy Oregon. Could they win the Big Ten? Of course. Do I buy them to win the championship? No, I don't think Dante Moore is that good. Same problem with Ohio State. I don't buy Julian Sain, even though the rest of that roster is loaded. I think Miami is the second best team in the country. Well, playing a weaker conference, they still will get tested. They have that big game in Notre Dame in the middle of the year. I expect them to go 11-1 at worst. Mensa is arguably a upgrade over Beck at the quarterback position. I think the Texas and Miami are the two best teams in the country, but they both have their question marks because even though Cristobal is in the title game, I still have my questions on him. So we'll see. I don't think the list of potential champions is as long as it was a year ago, but who the hell knows? I mean, Indiana was 100-1 going into last year, right? Like, we all thought, oh, they're not going to do what they did the year before. They were a fluke at 11-1, and they win the title because Fernando Mendoza was significantly better than a lot of people realized. And that is the thing in this era of college football. There's probably going to be one or two teams a year where you have a quarterback transfer that you think, okay, this guy's solid, but he's not going to be able to push them to another level. And that's what happened with Mendoza. Like, could Rocco Beck take Penn State to an 11-1 year with a weaker schedule and a little bit better play than we saw from him at Iowa State? Could there's plenty of other names out there as well that could vault teams that we just don't see right now as a legitimate threat.
Last one. Any betting takeaways from all the NBA craziness this offseason? Do you think LeBron in Philly will work? How's that going to look? Give me a thought or two on NBA, which I think their season is going to have a little more juice than they've had in a while, and they need it. It's become just strictly for me a postseason sport. And the regular season is kind of a waste of time. But I think this year, a little Celtics-Sixers rivalry, the tanking will get rid of some of the nonsense that we see all winter. And at the end of the year, really the second half of the year, Heat-Celtics, Giannis having Heat. I think that has a little buy. I like it. I think it'll be a fun year. Did you have any betting takeaway on any of this?
No real betting takeaways other than the fact that I think a lot of people I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Pacers are underrated going into the year. I think the Pacers, who we forgot about them last year, right? Why would we even thought about them? Because Haliburton was out. They had other injuries. They were an afterthought. I think they're really good if Haliburton is healthy. That's a really good team. Now, they butchered the Zubac trade, completely butchered that. And could that end up being the difference from them being able to really push a New York or a Philly or someone else we're not thinking of at the top? Sure. But I do think the Pacers are underrated. I think the Knicks are the rightful favorite in the East. I think Philadelphia is the rightful second favorite. I think if Embiid stays healthy, I think the Sixers thing will work because that, I know there are concerns of like the Steve Nash, Kobe, Dwight Howard Lakers. I know there are some concerns of that. I don't buy that. I think this team is much better because unlike that team where everyone was older, other than LeBron, the other guys aren't that old. Obviously, Embiid is an injury concern, but Maxey's young and Brown is young enough. So I think the Knicks and the Sixers are clearly the two best teams in the East, but there's more likely to be a team from lower on the Eastern totem pole pushing the Knicks and the Sixers than someone on the lower on the Western totem pole pushing San Antonio and Oklahoma City, who will, I just think, are on a collision course, health, of course, needing to be in play of them just being on a collision course of playing each other like 5 out of 6 years in a row in the Western Conference Finals now.
Jeff, you're the best, man. Where can we find you?
ESPN Las Vegas, my friends, Cofield & Company. I am not on there again this week, but I will be back next week. Just follow on Twitter at Jeff Parles as well.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thanks, Jeff Parles. Thank you guys for listening. Be back Friday. See you then.